Good morning, church family. I'm glad that you're with us today. Let me just begin, first of all, by, again, just apologizing to all of our church family as we have had to postpone our reopening plans based upon the recent cases of COVID-19. It has been a very difficult decision to make because everything in our hearts and desire would want to be together with you. And so I'm grateful that, that for your patience with this as we all navigate the days ahead. You know, obviously with the number of COVID cases that have spiked up dramatically, it not only has our attention locally on our local Florida side, but it has the nation's attention and the world's attention again. And so it would be, we would be remiss, or I think and making a bad decision if we didn't at least focus on making sure we know what's going on. And so the cases that are increasing right now, they're either going to be creating a new normal for us to understand and not be fearful of, or it's going to create, these new cases will create a lot more hospitalizations and hopefully not a lot more deaths. But so the scenarios could go either way. And I know there's mixed opinions about this virus and about its impact and the political side of it and the other pieces of it. I get all that. And we certainly didn't make this decision in a vacuum nor out of fear. We just wanted to make this decision for the best stewardship of the volunteers and staff and for your families as possible. In our church, there are some cases of COVID-19 that have already surfaced within family members of our church body. None that we know of have been in this campus on any of our open experiences or preview services that we've done. But we do have local businesses where we've had an owner of a local business here has had to shut down because of COVID in her business, a small business. We have it in a family level on a very mild case, and we have it on a family level on a very severe case. And so we have the gamut, I guess. And so with a church our size, we will certainly have to face questions about COVID-19 in the days ahead. And we're going to do our best to navigate that. But at the same time, you know, what our prayer is once we open, you know, we want to lean into you guys to make sure that your health is your responsibility and that you are wearing masks and protection and doing the things that are necessary to protect us, because it is proven that masks and social distancing make a difference. And so I just want to encourage you to do just that. I know in our family, that's an important thing that we must pay attention to right now, and we must be prudent when it comes to that. And so my heart's desire is that, again, you would just trust us through this process. It wasn't an easy decision, and it wasn't a decision that I made alone. I made the decision with our staff and deacons and elders, and we believe that it's the right decision, but I guess only time will tell. But so about 30 days, again, hopefully we'll be able to be together at the end of that point. That is certainly my prayer. I am longing to see each and every one of you so badly. I am a hugger, and I am a people person, especially when it comes to the people that we've walked alongside with and become friends with for so long. And so thank you also for the continued prayers from my wife. She does go back tomorrow for another round of chemo. These weeks come very quickly, and her recovery kind of erodes into the time off, and so she gets a few good days. And when she gets good days, we try to go do some things. But when she struggles, we just kind of hunker down in the house. And so thank you for your prayers and support as we have walked through these times together as a family. So we all have a similar sense, I guess, of frustration and fatigue with what's happening. And I had written a message intended for our gathering to be back and we realize not everyone's coming back. And let me just say real clearly again that if you are choosing not to come back right now, even when we do open the doors, you're no less of a person. We don't think that you're a fraidy cat or anything like that. We really want you to know you come when you're ready and be responsible for your own, you know, your health and wellness when you do arrive. But we all have some similar frustrations and fatigues. We're all tired of this. We're all over it, I guess is the better way to say it. You know, some are taking this very seriously and some aren't taking it seriously enough. And on both sides of the table, we seem to have irritation towards both sides of those philosophies. And so, and I fully respect both sides of the philosophies behind what we're experiencing. But the reality is, we have a lot of questions still of what's happening around us, so this frustration and this fatigue is natural. And the message that I had prepared was a message really of starting to regather as we had kind of moved from a reentry mindset into joining the church back. But But then I had to go home last night and just really shuffle the deck and spend some time on my knees and ask God to really give me some clarity for today's message, because I didn't expect to be in this position today. I thought we would be moving forward, and I feel like in some regards we have stopped or stalled or maybe even taken a step back. And so in my personal frustration, I just came to God and said, all right, Lord, so what do I need to say? What would be what your congregation needs to hear, what your people need to hear? Father, they're not my church. These aren't my people. These are your people. And none of this is a surprise to you. And so please, God, just give me a word that would be encouraging to them, but also be transparent on my heart. And so if this message doesn't seem like a typical message for me, that's fine. I just want you to hear my heart, and I want you to hear God's words through the things that I read in Scripture today. Because the bottom line is that God has placed a significant burden on my heart as your pastor and as your friend, and I must find ways to communicate that to you, because right now it is boiling in my heart, but I realize that until it has to boil in my heart before it can ever simmer in your heart. And so I need with everything in me to try to be as compelling and as clear as I possibly can to help you navigate and understand where I'm coming from. Because what I'm going to ask you to do as a church body in the next 6 months and the next 2 years and beyond is to make an adjustment to how we operate and what our focus is going to be on. And it's going to be a shift away from a consumer mindset and a shift into very much a kingdom mindset as a body of believers. And so this morning, that's going to be my big focus. And as I prayed, I continue to hear a verse and it just continued to bubble up. And then today, as I hear our worship service, I didn't even realize that this verse was nestled into the worship set that the team had picked for today. So I thank God for that, because this was not the plan in my original preaching plan. But it was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says this, that I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Some of you have memorized that verse, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We know the verse. Paul, in his writings to the Philippian church, we get it. We understand where he was coming from with that. But pay attention. This is what God, I think, is trying to communicate to me, is that he will be faithful to complete it. God always finishes what he starts. If you're taking notes today, and I encourage you to do that, I want you to write that down, that God always finishes what he has started. He had a purpose. He had a purpose in allowing our church to be meeting in homes for this past season. This was not a surprise to God. And yes, it's been inconvenient, and yes, it has been less desirable, but it wasn't a surprise to God, and it wasn't less desirable to God. There was a purpose in this. And he who began a good work in this season for you and I in our homes, there was something that we were supposed to learn and to leverage. Remember, we said in the very first Sunday when we went into this transition was, let this not be a waiting time. Let this waiting time not be a wasted time, I think is how I said it. We didn't want this to be a wasted time. So what was it that God wanted to teach us and show us and reveal to us during this season? Because it wasn't a curveball for God to find us in this position. He has a purpose, not just a purpose for you and your family, but he has a purpose for the church. And so when we first went into this, before frustration and fatigue hit us, we were leaning in more to the discovery of what that was. But as time goes on, it erodes our capacity to want to focus and lean in, and we get a little lazy, and we dial back, even including watching sermons online and joining our broadcast. We saw immediately a huge influx of people who wanted to watch it. It was novel. It was new. Man, Zoom calls were new for all of us. We all have Zoom on our phones now. I mean, these are things that we were like, wow, let's see our small group. But now all those things begin to peter out. What is happening? What was it that God wanted us to learn to do that's preparatory for our future? That we have a church have another opportunity, a short window, to go back and to complete the good work that he's done. What is it that God has been trying to teach us? And I believe that if we came back as a church, and if your family came back as a church just to return to our former normal, the way it used to be, I think that we risk missing the point altogether of what God was trying to do with us all. I'm not trying to be hard on us when I say this, but many families aren't sometimes don't take church at home seriously. I get it. If you're watching today, I want you to know, as your pastor, in my family, there's been some Sundays that we just haven't taken it very seriously either. We have kind of a lazy attitude sometimes. We get up, we eat breakfast. Maybe this describes your family right now. All your kids are laying under blankets, and everyone's eyes are barely awake. And you ate breakfast while you watched the worship service, kind of like we would watch a Netflix program. It's definitely, if you think about it, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I get it because I told you we're guilty of this. We've had this happen in our family. There's something about a different countenance in a way that we can pay attention to a sermon when we are watching it in our homes versus being in the room. And so here's the deal. I just want you to lean in. And today I want you to pay attention to what my heart is trying to share through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to do your best to have a countenance, that same countenance that you would have in this building as you would at home in these next few weeks before we gather together again. I want you to be ready to hear from God. I want you to have your Bibles ready. Some of you don't even have your Bibles right now in your living room, and so I want to encourage you to go get your Bible, at least open your phone, have the Bible app available. Make sure the things that I'm going to read to you out of this word are true and factual and not ripped out of context. Because ultimately, you're building your life upon these truths in God's word. Do not just take a man's word for it. Make sure that you seek and search the scriptures daily to make sure that what you're being fed and what you're being taught will certainly be true and something to anchor and build your life upon. So what is God trying to teach us all as we worship him at home? Can you perceive it? Have you perceived it? Do you recognize it? What has God begun to do in you during this season? And has he completed this work? Personally, what's been keeping me up at night and on my knees for the church is that here it is. For me, this is what and my staff would tell you this is where my echoing heart is. The elders would tell you this. I have a huge burden right now for our church to have our hearts to break for lost people. And I don't think that our hearts are breaking for lost people. I think maybe in some cases, but unfortunately on a global level, maybe it's church in general, but I feel it in North Point Church that there is something that's happening, something that's off, that I think that cognitively and intellectually we understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I think cognitively and I think intellectually you understand that the place called hell is very real and that our friends and families that don't have a relationship with God are going to spend an eternity separated from him. I think cognitively and intellectually we get it. And I think if we can talk even spiritually with our church hat on, even in these circles, it's easy for us to recognize that, yes, that is something that we all should do. But if you look deep inside your heart, do you really have a burden for lost people in your family? Do you really have a burden for your coworker who's such a mess? Do you really have a burden for your neighbor or your friends that are going through life trying to solve and fill a void with all kinds of things that are never going to satisfy? And you know the answer, but you remain silent. What the world needs right now is hope and truth and love. The world needs Christians to be bold and Christians to produce fruit and for Christians to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ, come what may. But in our culture, church has been a consumer thing. And I want to see that shifted. I want to see our heart break for the things that breaks God's heart. I want you to understand that the word of God that you have at your disposal, that you've hidden in your heart, is powerful and true. And you couple that with your personal testimony, the word of the Lord and the power of your testimony has the ability to break the chains that Satan has, the hooks on your friends and family, to keep them from dying separated from God. You have everything that you need, and God has given you the relationships and the influence in those people's lives to be able to make sure that they know the hope that you have inside of you. Is it possible that what we're experiencing in our culture right now is due to a generations or generations of a pandemic of asymptomatic Christians? Did you hear me? Is it possible that what we're going through in our world and the hopelessness that we have in our world and the fact that the gospel's message is not crescendoing towards the end, but it almost seems to be decrescendoing in the local church to get his message out there as God is one day going to return, and I believe it is soon. But why is it decrescendoing and not crescendoing? I pray that it would crescendo, get louder. That's what that means, a musical term. I pray that it would get louder and grow inside our hearts. But is it possible that we have a lot of asymptomatic Christians, a pandemic of asymptomatic Christians, that don't have outside fruit and who aren't willing to be known for the cause of Jesus Christ, who enjoy the hope and salvation they have, but we aren't applying it to our lives? And look, I'm not trying to be hard on us. I'm just trying to share the burden, the things that are keeping me awake at night. Because I somehow want not only our church to get better at doing this, but I want that to trickle down to every one of the members of our church. Because the days are coming that we have to be willing to stand, because it's going to get harder and it's not going to get easier for you to share your testimony and do those things. And so get about the business now of doing those things. It's my prayer that North Point will stand head and shoulders above our fellow churches in this area. I pray that we are doing a better job, not because it's a competition, but I believe that God deserves it, and I want God to be looking down upon North Point Church, and I want God to send to us lost people. Did you hear what I said? I want God to send us lost people. I want God to send us messy people. I want God to send us people who are challenging every question right now about the existence of God. I want people who are grappling with those apologetics things and the whys and the uncertainty. I want people who have realized that they have had attained wealth and success and it is not satisfied, and now they lay abed confused and wonder what is wrong, because I have everything in this world that I possibly could desire, but yet I have an emptiness that cannot be filled. I want God to send those people to us, and I believe that he will if two things happen. If as a church we are seeker-minded, understanding that God is going to send those people to us, and we are prepared and ready to share our faith in a transparent, humble, loving way, and secondly, that our church body is inviting their lost friends here. I think God is on his throne waiting for churches to get on the ball with making sure that evangelism and discipleship are the primary things within the body, not programs and fun and events. That evangelism and discipleship are our two flagships that we have. I, as the leader of this church, have a responsibility to turn those things up stronger in the mix. And I believe that we are making great strides for that. Right now, the meetings that we're having behind closed doors within our staff and in our elders are talking about those creative ways in which we're turning these things up. And we are anxious to be able to do that. You'll see some upgrades in the days ahead to help us accomplish that kind of stuff. But man, it's just like that the clock is ticking. And I want us to catch the burden. And I want us to understand. There is no lack of lost people in our community. They are here, but they must be able to come to a place to discover Christ. I believe that if you were to bring a lost person into this place, that they will be able to hear the gospel message. And I believe that if you bring a lost person that is searching in their life, trying to understand and make sense of all this religion stuff, I believe that they will find Christ here. And your responsibility is to make sure that you are having conversations about God with them on the outside, but you're helping them discover this place as well. Not to grow North Point Church, but to grow the kingdom. People will find Christ in this place, but we need to make sure that they find this place. And that's through the power of an invitation that you and I have, that you and I must take seriously. Because I want you to come back, and I'm longing for the day for us to return together as a church. I'm longing for that. But I don't want you to come back the way that we left. I want you to come back with a new passion and a desire to partner with me, to partner with your staff, to partner with the church leaders here to make sure that evangelism and discipleship, that means that we're sharing faith with lost people and that we're helping believers mature in their faith so that they too will be a proactive member of the Christian family and taking our responsibility seriously. Those two things are huge. So I want you to come back with that philosophy in mind. I want you to come back with a passionate desire. And right now, if I said to you a moment ago, like I did, and I said, do you have a burden for lost people? And if you honestly say, you don't have to even tell your wife this, just answer this question in your heart. Do you really care about lost people? If you don't really care about lost people, then you have a really important job over the next month to pray about that. And make that the primary thing in your prayer. To God, break my heart for the things that break yours. Lord, help me to see faces, Lord, in the way that you see faces. Help me to see their spiritual future, Lord, if they spend their life without you. Ask God to place them so deep in your heart and your mind that it keeps you awake at night. And when you finally have the opportunity to talk to them, they won't feel like you're pitching a sales pitch to them, like, you know, selling something to them. But they'll actually feel like you care about them. Because I don't want you to give some sales pitch to people in hopes that they'll buy into the philosophy of Christianity. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to genuinely love people and let them see your heart and your concern for their salvation. We all have people that we interact with who don't know Christ, and I want you to bring them here. When we get back together again, you have already realized, if you've even experienced any of these preview services, that we have our auditorium is half the size in terms of what our seating capacity is to keep social distancing. If you've attended with North Point, you know that we have a seating problem in general terms. And so we have a real coming issue that we have limited space, limited seats. And I'm going to say something very, very bold, and I want you to hear me very clearly. That if you are going to attend in the next calendar year at this church, I want you to bring a lost person with you and consider inviting one every single time you come. It is my heart's desire that you would have guests with you who do not know the Lord that walk into these doors. And I'm going to make a promise to you that if you bring a lost friend or a guest with you, we're going to see that if you bring guests, we're going to assume that they probably don't know Jesus Christ. If you're bringing guests with you, you will always have a seat, because I'm confident that my staff, the elders, and other great members of this church will realize that I don't want a first-time guest who is seeking about Jesus Christ to find themselves in an overflow room down the hallway. I want them to have the best seat in the house so they can experience the Holy Spirit in worship, to be confused by why are people worshiping a God that they can't see. I want them to find something inside their heart that says, wait a minute, this seems more real than it did a few moments ago when I walked into the store. I want them to have the experience. And so please, will you begin to bring them here? I promise you this, that I want our church to be seeker-minded, not seeker-centered. Now, there's a big difference between those two things. A seeker-minded church being a seeker-centered church, and I'm not saying that we're going to abandon the deep teachings of God's word, because sometimes seeker-minded churches just, they kind of keep all they do is talk about the elementary pieces of the faith, and our rest of our church body seems to be starving on the vine, needing more depth. And I understand that this is a place that we grow in knowledge and depth of insight. I get that. But it's also a place that lost people are here, so I need to be able to preach to that audience. I need them to understand the depths of God's love while I'm helping you grow deeper into an elementary principle. That's why your small group is so important. That's why you must get deeper in your word and go deeper in God's word to be able to grow in your faith, because I can't feed you at that level here at every single solitary Sunday, but I will do my best to bring a balance of that. But here's what I want you to know. That every single week that you have, that especially when you get back, we get back together in the month of August, it's my commitment, my team's commitment, that we're going to find creative, clear, and concise ways to share the gospel every single Sunday, so that your friend that comes here is not going to get some political message or some conspiracy message or some, you know, stuff that's not going to be applying to them. I want to target their hearts. So if you can bring them here, I want to do my best job to make sure that we all feed from God's word, but I'm going to spend some point in that message making sure that that gospel message, is, that presentation is being done in the best way that I know how to do, in the best communication power that I have. That as I stand here with breath in my lungs, I want to be a good steward of that time. But here's what I said, that I need your assistance in one more place. I need your assistance so that when I begin to share the gospel, that you guys don't check out the believers that are in the room. When you hear me begin to segue into the plan of salvation, it is not a time for you to close your Bible or to search the app and find something new that you've never seen before, or go to the bathroom or start picking up our kids a couple minutes early because I'm landing the plane and you know how this is going to go because you're a regular attender and you get it. This is about 8 minutes away from the sermon ending. I'm going to get a jump on lunch. No. What we need to do as a church family is when you hear me beginning to share the plan of salvation, know that here's what's happening. Is Satan is working overtime and hard to try to discourage them from giving their heart to him. What I need is prayer warriors in the room every time you hear me share the plan of salvation, and that you would pray diligently, faithfully, and fervently to make sure that there is limiting distractions and that their ears are itching and that they want to hear and that they'd be willing to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? I need prayer warriors. And it is very difficult as your pastor, when I try to share the plan of salvation and I see a lot of distraction movement from our church body who already is convinced and understands the hope. And so lovingly here, I'm just trying to share a burden with you, is that we can partner together. If you bring them here, if you invite your lost friends, and we are partnering together, and you realize that there's a moment in every service that we must be in to make sure that they have the way of understanding the hope in Jesus Christ, we are going to see life change take place here. There is nothing more exciting to me than to watch life change take place. There's nothing more exciting to you, I promise you, than when you see a friend that you brought to church, watch the pilot light of their heart come on, and you realize that they're now seeking after the things of God, that their heart begins to break for the things of God. They have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. They have a hunger to grow in their fear and their knowledge and depth of insight around God. Man, so beautiful. These are the things that I crave to see in our church. Being a seeker-minded church just realizes that every single solitary Sunday, there are people in this room who do not know Jesus Christ. That's what the new normal of North Point Church is, what I want to see happen. Right now, I don't know how often that happens. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the convinced, to church body, and that's great. If that's what God wants to bring, we're going to go deeper and we'll do those things. But I think that God's mission statement was for us to go into all the world and to make sure that they knew about his hope and about his love and to make disciples. It's a balanced approach. That's what I want to do, but I need you to bring them here. Do you understand? Ultimately, what my heart's desire is that you not only would just be good about inviting your lost friends to church, but that you would be great about sharing your personal story that is based in God's word and the experience that you've had with Jesus Christ, coupled with the truth of his word, recognizing that there is nobody can argue with the fact that this is who I was before Christ. This is what God's word told me about who I was before Christ. This is God's word told me of how I could have a hope eternal in the heavens by giving my life over to him and surrendering my life, and that he would forgive me of my sins. And when I would be forgiven of sins, then I have the opportunity to be called a child of God. And that he, just like everyone else in the room, I can become one of his children and I can have a home with God in the heavens. I won't have to suffer that ultimate judgment separated from God because I am now a child of God. This is what I want your friends to be able to hear. I want you to be able to lead them in that. We'll model it here for you personally, but ultimately I need your help corporately to be able to do that. Currently, we're working on a big campaign. It's a 2-year campaign. We already have the dates and the plan lined out. We finalized it this week. There's still some work to be done, but the plan is in place for us to reach our neighboring communities in a very evangelistic way over the next 2 years. We know it's going to take about 2 years to cultivate the relationships, but if you live in the communities of Twin Lakes and Oakstead and Oak Grove, Carpenter's Run, Turtle Lakes, Indian Lakes, those new neighborhoods along County Line Road and Livingston, the Sanctuary, and all of our surrounding adjacent neighbors, we're going to do our best to make sure that they, A, know where we are, because we believe that they will find Christ in this place if they can just find this place. And we're going to make sure that they understand our personality and temperament. We're going to do prayer walks in the neighborhood. We're going to try to find ways to serve the homes that need some big help, that we can do things in a public way so that people would be pointed to the fact that who is this church and what are they doing, that for them to have a curiosity spark that they want to come be a part of the things that are happening here, just to explore what is happening here, because it seems real. We're going to do our part as a church to try to draw lost people to our congregation. And if you do all you can on a private level to draw lost people to the congregation, we're going to have a lot of fun here, guys. It's going to be a wonderful place, full of life change. You want to hear worship explode in volume in this place with people singing their hearts out? Let someone who was blind now see and listen to how they worship God. Let someone who has been sick that God has given them healing and see how they worship God. Take someone who is under the incredible chains of brokenness in many places of their life, in slavery to all kinds of sin and addiction, and you give them freedom. Listen to how they worship God. It will sound different in this place. This is my desire. This is what I want to see happen in the church in the coming days. In just a moment, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that that verse that I started our service off with, Philippians chapter 1. But I want to read to you a section of this Scripture. It's a lot of chapter 1. We don't have time remaining for me to read the entire thing to you. But I want to read a couple excerpts for you. And I want you to hear Paul's burden and his desire and his longing to be with the church at Philippi. Just like I have a desire and a longing to be with you. But then Paul also implores them to have a heart and a desire for the things of God, just like I'm trying to implore you to do. And as I began reading, and listen, I don't ever consider myself on the same level as the Apostle Paul. Never, 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 ever. Come on, if you know me, you know me. That can't be possible. But here's what I do know. As I read these words, for the first time in a long time, I felt my heart just go, yes. And I aligned myself with Paul. And as he was talking to the church of Philippi, it's how I would want to communicate with you. And so I want to read to you these verses, and I want to ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, but also in the context of our church family, and understand the burden and joy I have for you and the desire to meet with you. Here's what he says in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Every time that I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began a good work within us, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Do you see the parallel for us? We've seen God do some extraordinary things, haven't we? He's begun a great work in us as a church. But I believe that he has so much more for us that he's going to bring about and to complete. Verse 7. So it's right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart, and you share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love, this is beautiful, church, this is the message I would want you to hear over and over in your heart today. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Some of your translations will say growing in knowledge and depth of insight. For I want you to understand what really, really matters. Because if you do, you'll understand how you need to live a pure and blameless life until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. He goes on to say in verse 20, for I fully expect and I hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. It's my heart's desire that I will continue to be bold. It's my heart's desire that you'll continue to be bold. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ. Whether I live, whether I die, if I'm not dead, he's not done, right? We sang this together. But for me, to living means living for Christ. That means dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I don't know what's better. He's saying living for Christ, dying for Christ. I mean, oh, there's just so many joys wrapped up in both those things. I get to be with God, and there's so much joy associated with that. But how much joy can I experience by sharing my faith here and being a part of his kingdom work? I don't know what's better. Verse 22, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go home to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. That's my prayer for you. It's my prayer that I will be a spiritual leader that would be able to live up to this assignment. It's my prayer that we'd be a church body who recognizes the power and the importance of your testimony and the hope that you and I have in sharing our faith. Let me pray for us, and then we'll conclude our service today. Father, I guess my heart's desire, Lord, is for us not to... my heart's desire is I want, Lord, to get a little bit under the skin of our church family to realize that if we don't have a heart for lost people, there's something wrong. And I pray we don't push past that tension. But on the same side, Lord, I know our church is full of people who do have a compassion for the lost. But maybe there's still a silence mixed in with that they have chosen not to be bold. And so, Lord, I believe that you can do a big work on all of us in this way. So I guess our next steps, God, is really for us to evaluate our heart as it results and as it relates to lost people and our responsibility. If we don't have a burden, we need to pray for that burden. If we already have a burden but no boldness, then we need to pray for boldness. And if we pray for if we already have the burden and the boldness, then I pray that we would have consistency to be able to share our faith. Lord, will you bring lost people to this place? I know that's a big request because ministry is messy. This place may get a little messy because of it. Because they don't talk like us. They don't live like us. They don't make choices like us sometimes because they're still living in a world that's satisfying their own desires. But Lord, I want them here because I may not be able to satisfy their earthly desires, but I certainly have the answers. I can satisfy their eternal desire. Would you please bring them here? Use our church body, Lord, to do just that and to be the ambassadors. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys.